Well, in the light of recent events, I think it's important for us to face the realities of life. Sometimes we call that the facts of life. The reality is that life is made up of a series of different events. There's some joys and there's some delights. There's some happiness and there are some trials and difficulties and tribulations, and everybody has some of these experiences, and Christians are not exempt from suffering and difficulty. And I was thinking, well, what makes the difference between Christian suffering and the unbeliever's suffering? And the difference is this: the Christian has a source of strength and help the unbeliever doesn't have. And there's a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The passage of scripture that speaks to this item we're talking about is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verse 7. 7 through 10, the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now, before I read this, let me just explain the context. In chapter 11, Paul has listed a series of sufferings and trials that he went through. Now, you would think that if anyone deserved to have the easy life, the great life, would be the Apostle Paul, who is committed and dedicated and gives his life in suffering. But Paul knows suffering and trial. And then in chapter 12, he tells us about some great, great experiences he has. He's caught up into heaven, and he sees things and he hears things that he's not allowed to tell us. And then he says that in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to beat on me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore will I most gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And so Paul gives his testimony in prayer, that he has asked the Lord to remove this trial and difficulty, and the Lord gives him his own answer: "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, I just want to say a word aside here about this personal word to Paul. Before the completion of the New Testament, when the books we now have were admitted into the church as the Scripture, God spoke to people through prophets, dreams, visions. And since the completion of the New Testament scripture, that ended, there is therefore now no private revelation. God is not going to tell you or me something that he is not telling the whole church. So we must not expect personal answers, personal revelations, where the Lord speaks to us personally. And We hear people saying today, and I was walking down the street, and the Lord said to me, that is not happening. It could be a personal thought. That's fine. It could be what we're thinking, and that's fine. But we must not say, and the Lord said to me, as if he's giving us personal, private revelation. But he did to Paul before this the scriptures were completed. So here is God's response to Paul's prayer. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, I thought our best approach to this text would be just to take each word and think about it and work our way through God's answer to Paul in the midst of tribulation. And the first word is my, referring to the Lord's grace. It is his own grace. It comes out of him, and it is unconditional, and it's complete because it is God. The second word is grace, that beautiful word that we love to hear and that we sing about, that is a gift, an absolute gift of God, undeserved, the gift of God's salvation, the gift of God's supply, the gift of security. My grace is, third word, is definite, not perhaps, not maybe, not I hope so. My grace is what? Sufficient. What's that mean? Enough? Adequate? It's plenty? It's all you need. Paul, you might think that it is best for this trial to be removed from you. But here's what is best for you. My grace. My grace is sufficient. It is all you need. And then we come to the next word, for. This preposition, that means in your behalf. The same word that is used in Romans 5:8. And that God gave his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, in our behalf. It is for, it's directed. And then the final word is you. That is, it's suited to you personally. My grace is sufficient for you, where we are this morning. To each of us, individually and personally, God suits the grace to meet our need where we are. This is what Paul needs in the trial. This is what people in our country need during this time of trial, but it can only be given to the Christian because only the believer can understand it, accept it, and believe it. So whatever we're going through this morning, this is God's message to us. My grace is sufficient for you. Now this passage also tells us the results of this, the glorious works of grace. What will it do? Well, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made complete or fulfilled in weakness. What does grace do? It reveals the Lord's strength. When we are proud and think that we can do it, or that we can handle this problem, or I'm going to just crank it up and do it myself, then there's no sign of God's strength because it's human. But when we, out of our weakness and out of our inability, cry out to the Lord for his strength, then we see it. Then it's revealed. His strength is omnipotent strength. My strength is made known out of weakness. And that's a great truth that we need to remember and understand, that the glorious work of grace is for God's strength to be experienced. A second thing that we note here is that the Lord's power resides in us. Paul says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may reside or rest upon me while the trial remains." While I am in the trial, that's when the power of Christ rests or resides in me, living in me. In fact, it's an interesting word that is translated rest. This is the same word that was given by the angel Gabriel to Mary when he was telling her that she was going to bring forth a son. And he explained to her that it would be the power of the Most High that would overshadow her. And while we're in trials and conflicts and tribulations, it is the power of Christ that will overshadow us, surround us, envelop us while the trial remains. We are sustained. Now that's a message that we need. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is fulfilled in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now then, let's consider the response of Paul, as he said this, and we've just read one, where he says, "I will glory in my infirmities." Almost, "I will rejoice." Paul, in the midst of this suffering, this difficulty, you're going to glory in this? Yes. Why can he say that? Because Paul is accepting God's providence. To say that whatever is for God's glory is for my good, and this will work together for good. I pray, but I rest. And that's the way we live the Christian life. I will glory in whatever God brings to my life. And if I pray and he answers the prayer according to his own way, I rejoice in that. Now also in verse 10, Paul says, "I take pleasure in my infirmities or weaknesses, in needs, even in persecution, in distress. I take pleasure." What a testimony. What a thing to learn this morning as Christians. Why? Because this is going to build character. This is going to take me toward maturity. This is going to bring patience. And enduring this trial is going to build faith. And that's the purpose. The real test for the Christian is faith. And will we trust God during these times? And in conclusion, we can say, God is saying to Paul, "I am enough for you. You need no one else. You need nothing else. Don't go searching elsewhere. Come to me. My grace is sufficient for you. I am all you need, ever, in any experience. Trust me in everything. This is scriptural, biblical, spiritual truth. My grace is sufficient for you. Trust me now. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that your word is timely. And even though you revealed this to Paul many years ago, yet it speaks to us this morning. And we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will cause us to take this passage into our life and live it out before others and before you, that we trust in you, dear Lord, with our life this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.